Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
What is important to try and understand is that all the laws surrounding working from home that we need to know. As South Africa continues to deal with a pandemic, employers will have to make firm decisions about whether to go back to the office, move permanently to remote working, or aim for something in between. If and when they do make such decisions, employers would do well to remember that any workplace changes they make will have to be done within the confines of the law. Joining us this morning, try and navigate this, is Jaden Cromer. He's an attorney and associate in employment law at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer. Very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. I imagine this is going to become a very relevant issue for many people.
Hi, Howard. Yes, thanks for having me. I think that you're 100% spot on, and the research suggests that there will be something of a hybrid workspace. So I think these are very topical issues at the moment.
If somebody's been working fully in the office and a company now decides, you know what, we've done our research and we see that a lot of people want to work from home, or a company decides that, you know, we want a bit of a hybrid situation, we're going to get rid of some of our office space. Is that, and now people are going to be working from home, all of a sudden maybe they're not being supplied tea and coffee, that they would be in the office, their internet bill goes up, all sorts of things start to happen. Is that a change to their employment conditions?
So I think there's a misconception based on that concept that would be a change to your terms and conditions of employment. And when it comes to terms and conditions of employment, there are two types. You get your material and your non-material. So okay. Your material terms and conditions would be something along the lines of your remuneration or your working hours, whereas the manner in which you do your work or perform your duties would be a non-material term, which would require something akin to a consultation process. Right. Which doesn't necessarily require agreement, whereas where it's a material term of your employment, that would require something akin to negotiation, which would require agreement. You can't unilaterally change those terms and conditions of employment.
Working from home, for example, and now expecting you to pay for your own tea, coffee, and internet would not be considered that, right?
No, so that wouldn't be. Some employers have taken, you know, a step further and provided those things. What you would be expected to have would be the necessities to perform your duty. So if you didn't have Wi-Fi before, that would be something that your employer could look into. And again, those are more regulated in terms of your contracts of employment and your policies, which haven't really changed. And I think the misconception comes in is that the actual legal landscape has changed. But really what happened is that you are now performing your duties from a different location, but that doesn't change your contracts of employment, and it doesn't change your rights in terms of the labor law and the existing legislation in place. So employees can have regard to unfair labor practices or unfair dismissals where those become relevant. You still have the right to rely on the Basic Conditions of Employment Act when it comes to your working hours, leave, sick leave, overtime, and the like. But ultimately, there hasn't been a fundamental shift in the legislation that would change your rights and obligations in that respect.
Are there any other obligations in terms of the law that somebody working from home might suddenly find themselves confronted with that they might not have thought of before?
So I think that's a good question, and it is something that has come up quite a lot. I think that the starting point here is that there's a concept of integrity, or the law of integrity, and that must always be adhered to. So while this isn't a strict legal principle, it's something that we should all adhere to, whether we're working at home or from the office. We should always act as if we are working from the office and we are being monitored. We should all know what is right and wrong and act accordingly. Something else to consider would be the Occupational Health and Safety Act. There seems to be a misconception in this respect that the employer has a duty to provide a safe working environment which will extend into the home. Now, for various reasons, this isn't really the case. What actually has happened is that this onus the employee. So while you're in the office, there's a shared duty towards the employer and the employee in regard to providing a safe working environment to the definition, which is reasonably practical, which I won't go into now. But basically, there's a shared onus to the employee, because the employer isn't going to come to your home and inspect your electrical and make sure everything is up to code. It's simply a violation of your privacy. And where this tens of thousands of employees, it's simply not practical.
Yeah. So in other words, but certain responsibilities remain yours if you're. Are there certain, maybe dispensations? You know, if somebody's saying to me that, okay, you know, you used to work in an office, now you expected to work at home, it doesn't really take into account my own living environment. Maybe I live in a small place and I now need to start working from the dining room with little kids at home and things become different. I would imagine that the expectation of the employer has to change somewhat.
No, you're 100% correct. So, for example, I think, and we've seen it a lot, employers have really been very understanding when it comes to, for example, noises in the background, things like dress code have been relaxed. You know, to a certain extent, employers are trying to meet employees halfway. And I think that the balance there is that employers and employees have to consult with each other and keep those lines of communication open. What we have seen a lot of is employers are approaching us to draft work from home policies and the like, which will cater for these very specific instances. And I think, you know, the points you raise are very valid in that we have to be careful about, for example, unintended discrimination. So, for example, if we say everyone must work from home, some people might not have access to Wi-Fi or a separate workspace which allows them to perform their duties. So those are very important questions that would have to be grappled with. And these, again, come down to, you know, what kind of workforce you're dealing with, the nature of the work that you're dealing with, the impact that it will have on the collective employees as well as the individual employees. Things like unionization and collective agreements and whether they fall into bargaining councils will also have an impact on how those discussions unfold. But really what you want is you want to open those lines of communication and act in good faith. You know, both parties should act in good faith.
In terms of the discussions that you're having with clients, I'm fascinated to just get a sense, and obviously it's anecdotal at this point because you're not researching across the industry, but from what you're seeing, how's it going to look in a year's time? Do you think we're going to be in a hybrid, or do you think that most companies will be in a hybrid, will go fully back to work, or stay at home? What's your sense?
So the research and many of our clients' feelings on this suggest that it's going to be hybrid. They've taken polls and surveys within their workforce, and generally what we found is that there are very few people that want a full return to the office, and there are very few people that want to continue working from home 100%. And I think that you know, there are certain benefits to having an office space if and when needed, and there are certain benefits for having the flexibility to work from home as and when needed. So most of our clients are building their policies and contracts of employment and opening up these discussions around a hybrid workspace.
A hybrid is probably the most complicated because when everybody's at home or everybody's in the office, life is relatively simple. But suddenly you get a situation where half the team or some of the team might be sitting in the office, but the other part of the team is working remotely. It is going to require a lot of agility on the side of the employer.
It would. And I mean, again, this brings us back to the point of you have to be careful about those lines of discrimination and whether there's any kind of unintended discrimination that could happen based on whether someone prefers to work in the office. For example, if an employer provides tea, coffee, or even lunch, for example, if you're in the office but not in the office, those are kind of things that we would also have to address and see where the happy medium is for employees. But often those kind of things are more commercial decisions more than legal considerations.
That's unfortunately where we leave it. Fascinating conversation. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 0618951019. Given the choice, would you go back to the office? Would you stay working at home? Or would you have some kind of a hybrid? And I understand if you're a plumber that is not going to work. So I'm really talking about people that do have the flexibility to do both. Jaden Cromer, attorney and associate in employment law at Cliff Dekker Hoffmeyer. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.